like to begin by reading two lessons. And I'm not going to say much about these lessons. I just want them to sort of set the context for what I have to say today. The first lesson is from the book of Acts. Very familiar story when Paul went to Athens and spoke there about the gospel. And in this lesson, we learn a little bit of history of humanity and how humanity understands God, and how through the years God has been trying to bring to man an opportunity for a more direct fellowship with himself. So Paul stood before the Areopagus and he said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all respects. For as I went around and observed closely your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship as unknown, I will proclaim to you. The God who made the earth and everything in it, who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives life and breath and everything to everyone. From one man he made every nation of the human race to inhabit the entire earth, determining their set times and fixed limits of the places where they should live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope around for him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move about and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are his offspring.' So, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human skill and imagination. Although God overlooks such times of ignorance, he now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day on which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he designated, having provided proof to everyone by raising him from the dead." And then the second lesson I'd like to share with you is from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is talking about a real shift that his life represents. That because of his coming, we have a whole new opportunity to draw into fellowship with God if we take it. Some of the people said to Jesus, "John's disciples frequently fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But your disciples just keep on eating and drinking." Jesus said to them, "You cannot make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days are coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." He told them this parable: "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on to an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed as well. Instead, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. But no one, after drinking old wine, wants to even taste the new wine, because he says, 'The old is good enough.'" And finally, I draw your attention to the cover of the bulletin, and a quote from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "God used to speak to us through the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." All three of these representing a shift, a seismic shift in our ability to know God and to relate to God. And I think it's all summarized very well by the picture on the cover. Love that picture. Because I look at that and I can almost see my aunt holding a phone like they had in their house. It wasn't that long ago. These really are amazing inventions. I was reminded of that last week when I read that letter from the mission field in Chad, and we got a glimpse of what life is like in Chad. I mean, life there is like life here was about 200 years ago, maybe. Reading that letter was like stepping back into time. And I got to thinking how hard it must be to leave your family and go so far away. 100 years ago, it probably meant never seeing your family again, never talking to your family again. My dad's ancestors came to this country in the 1600s, and so did my mom. And when they came, they knew they would never see their families, never talk to their families, never write to their families, never communicate with them again. Wonder if that's how Adam and Eve felt when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Of course, it's not so bad now with cell phones and computers. This thing really is amazing. Think how far we have come in so short a time, from this to this. I learned that in part from my own experience and in part from watching television. I think I've told you before, I have not watched a network program in probably 15 or 20 years. There's just nothing worth watching. Now, my mother-in-law, she likes to watch Survivor, and she likes to watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And we have glimpsed at old episodes of Amazing Race. At least you get to see the world with that one. But when I do watch TV, I used to watch the news. Well, I've given up on the news. I don't watch the news that much anymore. I tune in occasionally, but I usually change the channel. And what do we watch? Well, during the week, I used to watch, on the weekends, I used to watch Murder, She Wrote on Saturday and Columbo on Sunday. But now all you have on the three Hallmark channels and Great American Family Network is nothing but Christmas shows. 24 hours a day, the whole month of October, November, December, probably February, and then we get to June and July, and it's Christmas in the summertime. Let's just celebrate all year long. So what do I watch now that I can't watch Columbo? Well, during the week, 9 o'clock rolls around in the evening. I put on MeTV, and there's the Beverly Hillbillies. That's my kind of TV. So I saw this episode of the Beverly Hillbillies the other day. They got a call from Hooterville. And it was really interesting how these TV writers used to weave one TV episode or show into another one as if those shows really were reality, you know? So Granny gets a call from Hooterville asking if she can come and be like a nanny for the woman who runs the hotel. Her daughter had a baby, and the baby's not real healthy, and can Doc Granny come and help take care of the baby? Well, they don't know where Hooterville is. See, this was all arranged by Jethro's mom somehow. I don't know. I don't know how families work. I came from a big family, and I never could get those connections. But they said, you have to call Hooterville. So what's the number? Well, you have to call the general store in Hooterville, because that's the only place that has a telephone. So they call the operator. They get in touch with Sam Drucker at the general store. And anyone that wants to talk to anyone in Hooterville has to go through Sam Drucker. Well, give it a year, and a new show comes along called Green Acres. And when Green, and that's on at 9:30, by the way, in case you want to watch it. Oliver Wendell Douglas and his wife Lisa move from New York City because he wants to own a farm. So he buys a farm. The Haney Place. He buys a farm. Now, most of the people by this time have a telephone in their house. So he arranges to get a telephone. But they only have enough wire to hook it up to the telephone pole outside of his bedroom. So whenever the phone rings, he's got to climb out his bedroom window, up the telephone pole, and grab the phone before they hang up. But at least he has a phone at his own home. The only problem is everybody has a party line. I remember party lines. I grew up in Erie, and Erie was a big city, and we all had private lines. What we didn't have, by the way, was cable TV. I come to the boondocks, and they've got cable TV, and I go back to the big city in Erie, and all they have is the three network channels. I didn't think that was fair. But we all had private lines, but not in English Center. It was party lines. So when the phone rang, one time I was there, and the phone rang. Now, I'm like Pavlov's dog. When the phone rings, I want to answer it. The phone rang, and nobody wanted to answer it. And it had a funny ring. Ring, ring, ring. Ring, ring, ring. And my aunt's sitting there, Dave's mom, she's sitting at the table. She don't move to get the phone. My mom's there, she don't move to get the phone. Ring, ring, ring. I thought that was strange. But I was a kid, I had other things to keep me interested. So later in the day, the phone rings again. Only this time, somebody gets up to answer it. But it didn't ring the same. It went, ring, 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 ring. Gotta get the phone. I'm like, wait a minute. Why didn't you get the phone before? My mom said, that wasn't for us. That was for the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor gets a phone call and we answer it here? That's why you have to wait. You can't answer it on the first ring. Because let's say that your code is three short rings. And the guy across the way from you, his is four short rings. So you hear ring, ring, ring. You can't answer it. Because maybe the first ring was cut off. You have to wait for the second time. And then if it's still ring, 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 and that's your code, then you answer the phone. Only the thing is, if it's not your phone, you can still answer it. Let's say the neighbor is at my aunt's house and they're having a cup of coffee. And the phone rings, ring, 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 and it's the neighbor's phone. And she goes to my aunt's phone and answers it. Hi, this is so-and-so. And I'm like, you can't do that. Up in Erie, if the neighbor's phone rings, she has to go over to her house and answer the phone. Well, here, she can answer it. That makes things interesting, because not only can she answer, my aunt can answer it too. So let's say the neighbor is at her own house and the phone rings. Ring, ring, ring. My aunt says, I wonder what this is about. She picks up the phone. Now, my aunt would never have done that. But if my aunt got a phone call, her neighbor would have done that. So you learn to listen for the click. You pick the phone up, and then you hear a click, and you know that someone on the party line is listening in. That's just the way it was. Oh, the other thing about Hooterville, if you wanted to call anybody, whether Oliver wanted to call Sam Drucker or whether he wanted to call Granny out in California, he had to go click, click, click. Sarah, can you connect me with? I knew a little bit about that because my mom used to be a phone operator. And I thought to myself, oh, now I understand what mom did before she was married. So the problem with that is if Sarah is one of these people that anybody who wants to know anything goes to Sarah and asks because she's the operator. She hears all that and she can listen into conversations. It's not very private. And everybody knows everybody's business. And do you remember how poor the sound quality was back in the day? You had to say, what was that? What did you say? There's static on the line. I can't understand you. Now it doesn't matter if I'm talking to Matt in Philadelphia. If I'm out and around and I call Tammy at home, or maybe I have a friend in London, England, and I call them, the sound quality is great. And if they want me to, I can even see their face. Well, back in the day, of course, if you weren't home, you didn't get a phone call. Now, for better or worse, if someone wants to call you on the phone, they can always get a hold of you. They let us call from any place. They let us receive a call from any place. That's a cell phone. But do you remember what the first cell phones were like? I learned this by watching an episode of Columbo. See, TV can be very educational. This guy gets in his car and he wants to call the police. So he pulls out this thing that looks like looks like the radio that my aunt used to have sitting in her parlor. The thing that sat this high on the floor and had 50 dials on it. He pulls out this tank of a thing and he pulls the antenna out and he's talking. And I'm like, that's how this all started? Wow, we've come a long way. So now if I want to call anybody, I don't have to contact the operator. I don't have to look their number up in the phone book. All I have to do is get my phone out, go like this, punch in a couple numbers, bring up the phone, scroll through my list of contacts, hit the number I want to call, and there it is. Of course, if they're not listed in my contacts, then I'm in trouble. Let's say someone's calling me. I can tell who's calling. If they are in my contacts, their name comes up. Oh, it's Tammy. She's calling me. I better answer this one. Oh, it's a number I don't recognize. Well, if it's important, they'll leave a message. Well, let's say someone calls me and I don't have them in my list of contacts, but after talking to them, I want them in my list of contacts. I just add them to my contacts. And I have their number in my phone. Anytime I want to call them, I can call them. Just touch the name. Not only that, but I was walking down the street the other day. And I remember walking down the street when I was growing up in Erie. And there were some parts of town you didn't really want to walk through. And then there were parts of town that kind of bordered on those parts you didn't want to walk to. But that's where the plaza was. So if you wanted to go shopping, that's where you went. Mom wanted something at the store, and I said I'd walk down to the store. And walking down to the store, and here comes a guy on the other side of the highway. And he's walking along, and he's talking to himself. And then he's gesturing like this and like this. Mom warned me about people like that. She said, you just stay on your side of the street and don't look at them and don't pay any attention to them. So the other day, I'm downtown Lewisburg walking from one store to another. I look across the street and here comes the guy and he's talking very animated like this. I thought he's talking to someone. No one else was around. I thought, oh, he's one of them that you just don't look at them and you just walk by. And then all of a sudden, I saw this little thing sticking out of his ear. Someone who was with me and was a lot more familiar with this stuff than I am says, oh, he's Bluetoothing. Bluetoothing? It does kind of look like a tooth, but it's not blue. It's white. Well, they call it Bluetooth. You stick it in your ear. It connects to your phone. When you get a phone call, you can just start talking. You don't have to take your phone out of your pocket. You don't have to fumble with the ID on it to open it up or anything. You just start talking. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a little dangerous, isn't it? Won't people think you're crazy? And they said, well, people mind their own business. I'm like, well, okay, if you say so. Isn't it amazing how far we've come from this to this? I have a question for you. If you've got your choice, which one are you going to go with? There will be some who will go with this, and that's fine when it comes to the telephone. Because to tell you the truth, I don't like being bugged too much when I'm doing other things. When I'm talking to someone in their home, I don't like my phone to go off. I don't like the fact that I can be contacted by 500 spammers in a day, all trying to get money out of me. I don't like that. On the other hand, one day I was out and I got a phone call. This is John Shaw. I'm calling about Mary Benford. And then I thought, well, I'm glad I had it with me. In fact, he was the one that talked me into getting into this stuff. He said, you know, David, I was fishing the other day and I got, back then it was just pagers. That's all you had was a pager. And he said, if it hadn't been for that pager, I wouldn't have known that so-and-so died. You really ought to get a pager so people can get you in an emergency. Because that's kind of your job, isn't it, to deal with emergencies? So, I guess. When it comes to phones, you do what's comfortable with you. But I got to thinking. The difference between this and this is a lot like answering the question of the month, what is prayer? Prayer has evolved over the last several thousand years. We began in a situation where Adam and Eve were home. They could talk to each other and they could talk to God anytime they wanted to. Open communication. But Adam and Eve shifted allegiances and their fellowship with God was cut off. Sort of like my ancestors moving from Ireland to the United States, except it didn't lead to a better life, it led to a worse life. Back then, shortly after Adam and Eve left the garden, and for thousands of years, you were lucky if there was one person who knew or understood anything about God. One person you could go to ask about God. There was no talk of actually knowing God yourself. Like going to Sam Drucker in order to talk on the telephone instead of being able to talk at home. Or maybe more like going to Sam Drucker and asking him about a phone call he's already received, and I have no opportunity to get in on the conversation. Eventually, religion developed to the point that religious people told us that we could talk to God, but only if, like Oliver Douglas, who was willing to climb up the telephone pole, only if we were willing to jump through a few hoops, use the right words, do the right thing, then maybe God would hear what we were saying. But there's still no chance of having a private conversation with God, because the only place you could pray was in a special place they called the house of God. For some reason, we go out of our houses all the time, but the idea was if you wanted to see God or talk to God, you had to go to his house. He's not going anywhere. What is he, a shut-in? No, we're the shut-ins. And we're the ones with the problem communicating. So we have to pray in a place designated as the house of God. And the problem with that is other people are gathering there to pray. It's like a party line. Your prayers to God are being heard by everybody else. How can you open your heart to God? How can you share with him the fears of your heart and the challenges of your life if everybody and his brother is standing there listening to you? And even then, like the people in Hooterville having to call and say, Sarah, can you connect me with so-and-so? You had to go through an operator, a priest, a religious person, because only that person could connect you up to God. And even when you did all of that, you wondered if God was listening, because you weren't hearing much on your end. If you're like me and you've got ringing in the ears, all you hear is static. And you want to ask the operator, the priest, are you sure you dialed God's communication number and not his fax line? Because that's all I'm getting in my head, is that electronic gibberish. So if you need to talk to God and you're not close to a holy place, you're out of luck. If you're stuck in traffic and you've got to get to the airport so that your wife can make a trip down to Florida and be with her brother-in-law and help him out in a time of trouble, and the traffic is backed up, you can't pray to God because you're not in a temple. You're not even in a church. You're in a car. And we know God doesn't ride in cars, especially if I'm driving. There's a lot of people who feel that way. But then something happened. God himself came to us to establish lines of communication. I know a little bit about this because I told you my mom worked as a phone operator. She worked for AT&T. Kids today, you say that, and what's AT&T? Well, American Telephone and Telegraph. It was a telephone company. Then after she got married, she and my dad moved to Erie, and my dad got a job with GTE. What's GT? General Telephone and Electronics, which was bought by Verizon. Okay, Dad, I'm on your side. I'm not on Mom's side. This is not an AT&T phone. It's a GTE phone. My dad was a planning engineer. Or was it an electrical engineer? He was an engineer anyway. He worked for the phone company. And when they wanted to set up a phone system in York, Pennsylvania, I guess so that everybody could have a private line instead of having to share with their neighbors. He would go for a week at a time down to York, and he would set this up so that everybody in York had the opportunity, if they wanted it, to have a telephone in their own home. This is kind of what Jesus did. He came down to earth in order to establish lines of communication between those who loved God and wanted to talk to God, and God, who wanted very much to talk to them. There were just two problems to be overcome. One problem was that we're sinners, and we just don't appreciate the static that sin creates when we try to communicate with God. He can hear us. We cannot hear him. And because we can't hear him clearly, when he does speak to us, we confuse his message oftentimes with messages that we hope he's sharing with us, but he really isn't. So Jesus came to deal with that problem by dying on the cross. He cleanses us of the guilt of sin, enables us to become holy through the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Now the Holy Spirit is that line of communication, and he's living within us. And we all have a private line. Isn't that great? But the second problem is, when it comes right down to it, there's a lot of people that really don't want to talk to God. And even more who don't want God to talk to them. Because if they hear what God has to say, then they have to act on it. But if they don't hear what he has to say, they can claim ignorance. Even though, as a policeman who once pulled me over for speeding once said, when I said I didn't see the sign that said it was no longer 55, it was 35, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, Jesus can't make us want to talk to God, and he can't make us want to listen. But the fact that now God has spoken through his Son, as he said to Philip the night of his arrest, if you want to know what God is like, look at me. Because if you see me, you're looking at God. And if you hear me, you are hearing God. Because the only words I say are the words he gives me to say. So now, not like when Jesus wrote to the church at Laodicea, people who claimed to be Christians but weren't paying attention to him, and he says, look, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you open the door, I'll come in and we'll have fellowship. For those who believe and cherish that faith, he's not standing at the door knocking. He's already sitting at the table waiting to see what kind of treats we're going to bring to him. And more than that, waiting for us to quit serving and to sit down and actually talk to him. So we all have this access. And not just when we're at home, because the Spirit is in our hearts. And wherever we go, he goes. We can talk to God no matter where we are, as long as we know his number. And Jesus gives us his number. But sometimes we call other people and other things instead of calling God's number because we say, he may be busy. I don't want to bother. This is my problem. And I felt guilty about it ever since I was a kid. Ever since I heard the phone ring and someone would answer it and they'd just keep talking and I would go, it's not for me. It was never for me. I was a kid. Nobody ever called me. But from the time I was that high, I never liked talking on the telephone. And I felt like I had to apologize to my dad and to my mom. Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys, you made a living on the phone company and I can't stand talking on the telephone. Well, get over it. I'm a pastor now. I have to talk on the phone. I don't even need a phone to talk to God. I've got Bluetooth. I've got the Spirit of God not only living in my heart, but living in my ear and helping me to hear what God has to say to me throughout the day. And not just at those times when I say, hey God, got your number here. Hey God, can you talk to me? No, I'm busy. Well, no, he doesn't say that. Remember Elijah said that at the battle of the prophets of Baal? And they prayed that their God would accept the offering and he didn't. And Elijah's like, hey, shout louder. Maybe he's got trouble hearing you. Leave a message. Maybe he went out. When he comes back in, he'll get the message. So when you call God, you don't have to worry about that. What if I don't have his number? What if I don't really know who God is? That's why Jesus came. So that we would know him. So that we would follow Jesus, and by following Jesus would be able to recognize his voice and know that when he is speaking, God is speaking. So that we would recognize the voice of God in this book. And be able to tell from that whether something we're hearing is from God or from somewhere else. I had someone come to me one time and who's married and said, yeah, God told me he wanted me to divorce my husband and marry somebody else. And I said, I don't know what God you're talking to, but my God would never tell you to do that. Well, how do you know? I know his voice. And he would never say that. If I want to know God's voice well enough to recognize it, this is where I go. Because this is his voice speaking to us. And then there's always this possibility. I don't know God's number, but God has my number. And he's written it in his book of contacts called the Book of the Lamb of Life. And he's calling me, just like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. Once he called Paul on the road to Damascus, you know what Paul did. He put his phone number into his contacts list and he listed the name as, this is God, and when he calls, you better take the call. And now, anytime Paul wanted to, he knew who to call if he wanted to talk to God. So even if I don't know him, I may just find that he is seeking me out. And when he does, he's giving me an open invitation to talk to him anytime I want to. And the nice thing is, I don't even have to have a phone in my hand. Because you know where God is. He's in the cloud. He's in that cloud that I'm going to as soon as I hear the trumpet. And so he's never far away from me. Not only that, but someday I'm going to see him face to face. I can't now because I'm not fully cleansed. I'm not totally holy. But when this body is switched for my resurrection body, then I can see him face to face. There's only one thing I have to worry about. Taking calls from someone that says it's God, and it really isn't. I was watching TV the other day. I don't really watch it that much. And it used to be that if someone called us, our phone is through the cable company, the name would come up on the screen. One day I'm watching TV and at the bottom of the phone rings and at the bottom of the screen says, "You're getting a phone call from David McCarty." It had my phone number, my house phone number that was ringing, had that as the number that was calling me. Scammers do a lot of things to make you pick up that phone. And so does Satan. He does a lot of things to make you think God is calling when it's really someone very different. Now, it took a lot of technology to come up with this. They say this phone has more computer power than the computers that got the Neil Armstrong to land on the moon. That's how powerful these things are. Took a lot of technology. My dad helped with that technology. The technology that enables us to talk to God, it's right there. It's Jesus hanging on the cross. And the fact that that cross is not a crucifix. His body is not on that cross. It's not in the grave. The grave is empty, and he's in heaven sitting next to God, so that if God has trouble hearing me, which he never will, Jesus can say, "Look, here's what he's saying." Or if I say something and God says, "What the heck is he talking about?" Jesus says, "Oh, you got to know people like David. I mean, when he says this, this is what he means." Oh, okay. Just in case God would have trouble understanding what I'm saying, I have an interpreter sitting right next to him. I've got the technology in here that enables me to connect with him. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the best part of all, every month I get a text on here. It says, "Thank you for paying your Verizon bill this month." You know what's nice to know? The monthly bill for my ability to communicate with God through prayer, it's all paid by Jesus. I pay for Matthew's phone because we're all on the same plan. It's cheaper that way. Now, I can go into a savings account and withdraw that money, and I usually do. I'm not really paying for him because he's paying me back. But Jesus paid my bill. And he's not telling me that I have to pay him back for what he paid to the Father. So, I'm going to end this message by asking the same question I asked before that I got a mixed response on. Not, would you rather have this technology or this technology? But would you rather have to go to a special place, let somebody else do your praying for you, and not know if God has heard you or not? Or would you rather accept a technology that enables you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, to breathe a prayer in your heart that you don't even have to say out loud, and to know that God is hearing you, and to discover that he's actually talking to you too? Heavenly Father, we talk about how we should pray. Is there a posture for prayer? Are there special words that we have to use? Are there special places we have to go to? And some of us are still comfortable with the idea that if I want to talk to God, I just have to go to a special place. I have to let someone else talk to him for me. Help us to understand what Jesus has done for us. The transformation that can take place in us when we surrender ourselves to Him, when we dedicate ourselves to hearing His teaching and following it. How that enables us to have fellowship with You moment by moment, day by day. Through Christ we pray. Amen.